Welcome back into Morning Drive, 9:32 here on a Wednesday. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Nikhail Braden-Gall, Derek Mason, and Chase McCabe with you, taking you up until 10 o'clock, as we do each and every day. Big Finish in just about 15 minutes, but let's talk some Preds, let's talk some hockey, as we welcome in our guy Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing excellent. So, collectively, as a show this morning, we were talking about the Preds for a couple of different segments, and they're putting this little win streak together, three in a row, two of which come against really good teams in San Jose and Toronto, but yet we put a little caveat on it. We'll buy back in completely if you take care of business against Pittsburgh and Winnipeg. Are you buying into this Preds rendition of a late little run here, or do you still need to see a little bit more?
No, I think they're playing well, and I think that when you have a team like Toronto that was coming in licking its wounds, playing pretty bad hockey and looking to rebound against a tough opponent, to shut them down and put them away like they did last night was really impressive. So, you'd love to see the streak continue. You'd love to see them play well in the next couple. But you have to be pretty happy right now with the way they're going. I mean, and look no further than across the ice last night with a Leafs team that's having a crisis of conscience right now heading into the playoffs versus the Predators team that clearly is pointed in the right direction.
They're 9-1 now against the best six teams from the Eastern Conference. I mean, they swept the Islanders, they swept Washington, they swept Toronto, and they swept the best team in the NHL, Tampa Bay. They have yet to play Pittsburgh. I mean, I guess that should give Predators fans confidence that if they get to the Stanley Cup final, they feel really good about it. Which is sort of redundant, to be honest with you, but it feels like they could also lose in the first round. Still, I still can't pinpoint anything about this team yet.
Well, I think what you're trying to pinpoint is that they play down to their competition, which is could either be a good thing or a bad thing. If you pull what you believe to be an inferior opponent in the first round, maybe you're looking ahead to that Winnipeg series, and that's not ever a good thing. I will point out though that somebody on Twitter mentioned this record against these best teams last season, to which in a beautiful Twitter moment, professional wrestler turned UFC fighter CM Punk asked rhetorically if the Predators would raise a banner for having beaten the Eastern Conference teams as badly as they had, because he's a bitter Blackhawks fan, you see.
We don't have any problem with Blackhawks fans being bitter, by the way.
No.
Yep. I don't think a lot of people do. No. I was thinking about it the other day, and I was thinking about it in the terms of March Madness. Like, the Blackhawks Cup seem like they are a million years ago, and it reminded me of how like UConn won the tournament, and it was like what two maybe 3 years ago that UConn won the tournament, but that feels like it's a million years ago. I don't know if it's just the way that sports works and sports media works, where everything just seems like ancient history when it's said and done. But I mean, those Blackhawks Cups we've had Pittsburgh, we've had Washington, and it just seems like Chicago won a decade ago.
By the way, Greg, you referenced CM Punk and his reply about raising a banner. That actual reply from CM Punk on Twitter was directed right at our program director, Ryan Porth.
There you go. I see. So now what you need to do is you need to gin up a rivalry between the station and CM Punk, get some real heat, and go from there.
There you go. We'll put that on the to-do list at Tuesday's promo meeting. I'm sure that'll be addressed.
Just make sure you help promote it on social media. Once we get it rolling, Greg, make sure you help us out.
So, Greg,
I will simply retweet it and write the words "gets popcorn" as one does on Twitter when something's going down that's important and people should watch it.
Greg, your perspective on the way things have played out this season for Kyle Turris, and I'm referring to Peter Laviolette benching him the previous two games prior to last night. They're pretty much doing everything possible to get this guy going, whether it's moving him down on a different line, deactivating him, getting that secondary scoring. Is there anything that will get this guy going for the stretch run?
I mean, the only thing that you can get going when it comes to Kyle Turris is somehow getting Kyle Turris himself going. I mean, and we talked about this before with regard to the playoffs and what a concern it is to have a guy that's supposed to anchor your second line and be a force to be reckoned with so the top line, isn't relied on so intensely in the postseason. How important that was going to be going forward and how important it was last season and when he didn't come through. So So it is a big point of concern, I think, when it comes to secondary scoring, to not have him going well this season, and obviously to have Laviolette take pretty extreme measures to try to get him going now. But, you know, I think one of the reasons why David Poile went out and acquired two wingers at the trade deadline was in anticipation of trying to mix it up and trying to try different combinations and get Turris going. So hopefully it happens, because as we talked about, I mean, this conference is way too deep when it comes to teams at the forward position to only be a one or two line team. You need to have at least three going in the postseason to win in the West.
I want to pull on your sort of historical expertise here, Greg, and that is that we've seen Chicago have to use a second goaltender to win a cup. We've seen Pittsburgh have to do it. Certainly last year the Capitals didn't have their guys starting at the beginning. But generally it's not a back and forth. Like, can you remember any team? Now Pekka's the starter. He's going to start game one of the playoffs, and if he plays well, he'll play most of the playoffs. But UC Saros has done an incredible job as a backup. He has Stanley Cup experience. Can you remember a time when a team won a cup kind of going back and forth between guys? Is there examples that you can recall where a team truly used two goaltenders to win a championship?
I don't know. I can't recall the last time a team truly used two goaltenders where they both maybe had the same number of starts. It usually is more in the vein of what you were talking about, where one guy starts the postseason, falters, then the other guy takes over and takes the ball and runs with it. I mean, you know, Carolina with Cam Ward, for example, the rookie taking over and eventually winning the Conn Smythe. That's the sort of thing that we see more often than not than any kind of platoon situation. And I imagine for the Predators, that's probably how it would play out as well, where if for whatever reason Pekka-Rinne falters at some point, they put in Soros, he saves the day, and now he's got the crease, you know, for the foreseeable future. Now, we have seen situations like the Penguins a couple of years ago where it kind of went back and forth, where Murray struggled, then Fleury popped in, and Fleury had his run, and Murray came back. So it is possible to kind of do it, but it's never by design. You know, it's always sort of out of necessity when you have these two goalies playing at certain points of the postseason.
Greg, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time. We will talk to you again next week. Thank you very much.
Anytime, boys. Thanks for having me.
You got it, Greg Wyshynski. And referring to the CM Punk and Porth. So it's the Punk Porth battle on Twitter. So Porth tweeted 12 hours ago, the Preds have now swept Toronto, Tampa Bay, Washington, and the Islanders.
Which is a fine tweet.
In the East this season.
It's
yep.
A good tweet.
Factual tweet. CM Punk, apparently, because he doesn't follow Porth, he must have been searching hockey tweets or came across it some other way. He says, "Are you going to raise a banner?" And then Porth,
which is also funny.
Yep. Porth comes back. He goes, "I don't know, CM. Are we going to hear Chelsea Dagger in the playoffs? It's been a while." No, poor throwing a little jab back at a former WWE superstar. I like it. Yes.
We need to hear that at Bridgestone Arena as CM Punk comes after Ryan Porth.
So how can we escalate the situation? I don't want to calm it down. I want to escalate it.
There's two questions that come along with this. One, will CM Punk engage moving forward? Couple million followers, could be very difficult, or he just might not care not to get in the Twitter mud with Porth.
Was Porth's return jab about the Blackhawks having not won a playoff game in a while, is essentially what he's saying there, right? Mm-hmm. Is that a good enough jab? You guys are the wrestling,
I think
wrestling
so.
Experts.
Yeah.
Is that a good enough jab for CM?
I had thought, and it would have been pretty bad, but when Ryan showed it to me, I was my initial response was, "You ever going to win a UFC fight?"
Now that is heavy-handed.
Yes. That would have been to the gut right there.
So
neither Punk or Porth will win a UFC fight.
Exactly.
But is that getting too personal?
Yeah, right? That's personal. Why you don't, you know.
Because really right now it's just two fans talking trash on
Twitter.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. So CM Punk is a huge Chicago Blackhawks fan. I actually met him at a Preds Blackhawks game. He was there with his wife right after he left WWE, and you guys know I'm a big wrestling fan, was nice as can be, took a picture, was cool with fans, signing autographs, and was just there to watch a hockey game.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Who's our wrestler that's always at all the games with his wife?
I always Rusev?
Rusev.
Yeah, who would win?
Well, Rusev would destroy him.
All right, so there we go.
Well,
can we escalate by bringing Rusev into this?
CM Punk is the bigger star power.
Yeah, but you're saying who would actually win like a UFC fight?
Oh, yeah, Rusev.
Oh, Rusev would destroy him.
Right, so let's Let's bring Rusev into this. Let's escalate.
Let's do it.
Rusev.
Let's escalate the conflict. But let's bring in troops.
Will Porth want to escalate this, or will he want to defer to management mode and check out?
I don't care what he's doing.
I think Porth will check out.
I think we have the power to escalate, though.
Yeah.
Here's what we do. We get a special edition of Preds Insiders. Chase, you moderate it, but in this studio, in this seat is Porth, in that seat is Punk.
That would be fun. Because I think it would be a good hockey debate.
But what happens if it starts getting a little heated and Punk stands up and all of a sudden he's getting a little more heated? Like, I'm sorry, I love Porth, but I would be terrified.
Are we going wrestling Porth angle? Or are we going?
I would be terrified.
But if we're looking at the tail of the tape, Porth's a bigger guy than Punk. Just saying.
Because if we're going wrestling angle, I would pick up a chair and hit CM Punk with it to defend Ryan.
I hope CM Punk is listening. If he could,
he's
possibly
obviously a listener of Morning. Yeah.
But see, here's what would happen.
He might be.
If Punk and Porth were going at it, and the constable was the ref, I'd make sure that the constable got knocked out cold, and then I'd slip in the brass knucks for CM Punk to finish off Porth.
You wrote your own storyline.
Oh, yeah.
See, this is what I
could actually be a wrestling storyline writer.
Exactly. This is what I don't like about this whole thing, because in this scenario, I'm a babyface, and if I was ever involved in pro wrestling, I would insist on being a heel. So
I don't know if you can be a heel, though.
Oh, buddy. I would be a great heel.
I don't even know what a heel is, and I don't think
you
can do it.
The nicest guys are the best heels. Like, in real life, the nicest guys are the best heels.
I follow you, but to be a heel, don't you have to, like, be, like, you got
to come out.
You got to be super angry and furious.
No, you just insult the city. You cut promos like Elias, and you just, you know, make fun of the city and the fact that they're, you know, I would make fun of the Titans all the time. Like, yeah, Chase, I had to get out of this town because they couldn't win a football game or something better.
That was a good one, heel.
Thank you.
He's been watching it for a very long time, so I'm pretty sure he can.
I'd be
he
good.
Can play all the roles.
Yeah, he can play all the roles.
Look, I'm a heel to you every day.
Yeah, you got a point. It's rude, and it hurts my feelings.
Good
point.
So
then it's working.
HR.
Oh, now you're copyrighting from
my voice doesn't go up like Buck's when he says that.
Yeah, Buck either has he's either raspy or he's like 10 octaves too high. Like, there's no in between. Yeah. Can't believe he's older than Marcus Morris.
Okay, can we go to break so we can do the rewind?
Yeah, sure. What the heck? Morning Drive Daily Rewind coming up next.
But first.
Oh, don't go to break yet. First, though. No, Nick, tell people about Chris. Well, actually, I'm going to, because I feel really damn good, and it's because of Chris Chiropractic. See, here's what I did back in September. I said, you know what? Enough of the back issues. I looked up chiropractors, and what was the first guy that I found? Dr. Jason Christ, and I'm glad I found him because he's the number one chiropractor in the state of Tennessee, multiple years running. So here's what you have to do. Give him a call, 615-771-0022, and here's it's actually a two-part thing. One, he's really good. Two, the offer is phenomenal. They want you to spring back into great health. So normally, the initial consultation, the initial treatment, it's $75. But for spring, it is a mere $25. You could have a simple adjustment, spinal decompression therapy, which I partake in, roller table therapy, and muscle stimulation therapy. It's all available for you at chrischiropractic.com. And in Cool Springs, check out their location, 2025 Mallory Lane, 615-771-0022.
Yeah, it's a good tip, really good.